Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here this morning. It's always fun putting it together for a topical study when you know it's Father's Day to keep with it, so I've kept with it today, and hopefully it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. It's not a beat-down message. Even though it doesn't matter how it comes across on Father's Day, sometimes it does feel like that God's really speaking to you, because maybe not for you, but I feel like sometimes I need to up my game as a father. Just happy Father's Day. Again, some historical facts. Most of you know this. It probably gets brought year by year, but it is interesting seeing some of the history, considering we're following against Mother's Day. Where we're very honoring to our mothers and respectful to them. So Father's Day in the United States, this is a holiday. It's the third, typically the third Sunday in June. It is to honor fathers. The credit was credit for originating the holiday is generally given to Sonora Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington, whose father, Civil War veteran, raised her and her five siblings after their mother died at childbirth. She is said to have had the idea in 1909 while listening to a sermon on Mother's Day, which at the time was becoming established as a holiday. Local religious leaders supported the idea, and the first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19, 1910, the month of the birthday of Dodd's father. In 1924, so that was 1910, 1924, we're jumping. He had 14 years. U.S. President Calvin Coolidge gave his support to the observance. 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson issued a proclamation that recognized the day, and it became a national holiday in 1972. So from 1910 up to 1972 is when finally gets signed into legislation designating the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. That be said, it takes a long time for some of that stuff to go through. Mostly, and why it may take that long, I don't know. Men, if you're like me, we don't like that sentimentality. We don't really care for the maybe kind of grovel over the same sentiment that women on Mother's Day typically really appreciate: the Mother's Day flowers, the cards, those that nature. Most men, some men, myself, I'm happy to have that observance, but I'm okay if you just say Happy Father's Day, high five, keep going. But again, that's me. You know, otherwise it's woohoo, right, Tim? Thanks, Happy Father's Day. Nonetheless, it is always wonderful to be recognized by our children and honored by them on Father's Day. Okay. Sorry, I had Neil print this off at home, and I got to remember how I had things ordered in order on here, as I didn't do it at home, to go back over it one last time. God's commandment, it is a commandment for our into the law for children to honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20 and verse 12. It is the fifth commandment to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given to you. So we see this as a commandment, as something we're supposed to do. So even though I don't feel the relevance and importance, it is something that we are commanded to do. Show our family to honor, not just one day of the year, but throughout the year ahead of us. Jesus would repeat the same in Matthew 19:19, and also in Luke 18:20. Honor your father and your mother. Jesus gave relevance to this, that it is something that continues on to this day. It is not something that's just Old Testament law. It is carried over, and it is that law that we are to follow. Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to turn, I'll just get turning. That way I don't just kind of roll through my message too fast this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Paul would also bring emphasis to the Lord's command Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." All this message is primarily, I'm trying to direct it more towards the fathers, again, towards the godly man, as we'll see a little bit more, and it is also time for children to give word of praise to their fathers. And I know this could be a challenge for some. Some may have not had a good role model as a father growing up. They may find it hard to wish them a happy Father's Day. But by God's grace, we have been shown mercy and His strength. We can do what He commanded, show honor to our fathers. I'm thankful I had a father that I grew up with in the home as a role model. It was one that would correct us when we were wronged. He was there to love on us. He was there to exalt us when we did things right. He wasn't always perfect. He will admit that, I think. Or he might just admit to having imperfect children. So I'm not going to deny that one either. But I am thankful for my father. And I'm thankful for my grandfathers that I had growing up to serve as role models in my life, the demonstrated sacrifice and caring in their service to the family, and that they have made raising me and my brother and my sister also in a godly home. And that, I am grateful for my dad. So this morning, I'd like to take a look at some of the godly qualities of a godly father or a godly man. Again, as I mentioned, it's always hard to find a starting point. I've changed it a couple of times within the message, or at least for me, it seems to be a little bit hard, and I keep juggling into it. But I'd like to take a quick look at a deathbed confession from a man after God's own heart. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 2, and let's just read some of the verses there of King David. First Kings 2. Verse 1. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, "I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way, to walk before me in truth, and with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." So long gone are the days of the TV shows like Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, things of that nature, where you had the father that would take aside his son, and they would show, at least in Hollywood fashion, the correcting, the sitting down, the talking to their son, and being very, very fatherly, and actually taking time out with their children as portrayed, and giving them direction, giving them heart-to-heart counsel. When the Beaver's brother would do something wrong or need advice, they would come to their father for that advice. He would sit down. We see the same picture, at least how I'm seeing it here with King David and bringing Solomon and setting him aside. All right, these are the things that are going to be important as you move forward in life. It is a good picture for us to remember with our sons and our daughters. For young man, be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Well, he doesn't say be strong and powerful and the macho type. What does he say for him to be? Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways. I could almost end my message on a fatherly note right there. How do we raise our children? Follow the Lord. Teach them to walk in his ways. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, though. We're not going to stop there this morning. I have more that I'd like us to go to look at and to ponder on this morning. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the godly Father, one that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, they need to be saved to be a godly man. You can be a good man, but you can't be a godly man without being saved. So first and foremost, the godly parent, the godly father, is one that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God made man in his own image for the purpose of expressing God. When we become a God-man, one who is filled with God, we express God in our actions. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have these within us. Fathers should have these qualities in his arsenal as ones that are followers of Jesus Christ. Love, they should be loving. Joy, they should show joy within their life. They should be peaceful. They should be able to bring peace within the family. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is probably the hardest one on the list for me. It's because when things aren't going right, as I think they should, it is really hard to keep it together, to keep maintain my love, my joy, and my peace, the three that come before there. Long-suffering that we have to continue to raise and to rear our children. And I have to admit, sometimes I just fail. And it's those times that I have to come and ask for forgiveness, whether I'm right or wrong. Most of the times I'm right, but I usually lose it. And I still have to come because the way that it is handled is not right. And I have to come and ask forgiveness. Let God lead your actions. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I find myself checking the boxes and putting question marks beside others on there. I know there are qualities that God says are within me, the ones that are listed right here as a godly man, as one that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. How does your list looking this morning? How are the boxes being checked? They're good, I hope. Hopefully you don't have the same struggles that I do. But if you're human, I guarantee you do. So continue to pray for each one of us. Let's just contrast those real quick. We'll back up a couple of verses, 19 through 21. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have those that live that kind of lifestyle too, as a worldly person. They may be good people, but in the end, they're still sinners, and they do not have the love of God to help guide and direct them. Psalms chapter 1, we'll look at some verses through there. Psalms 1. Beginning at verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Beautiful section of Scripture. It is a beautiful set of verses that we have before us that tells us the things that we should live, the things that will make us happy. It says in verse 1, blessed is the man. We think about a blessed man. What is the blessing according to concordance? I can't think of the. This is actually translated happiness, or more like how very, very happy the man, the blessed man, how very happy man. It's not enough that we would hear how to walk in the path of righteousness. We must not walk in the counsel of the wicked. I learned very early on that the company that I keep would have more of a negative effect on me than the positive that I could be on them. I think that was emphasized over and over in my house. Beware the ones that you hang to for the sake of. You hear people, I want to hang with them to be able to show them the love of Christ. That's never been the case, at least in my case. They were more able to tear me down and bring me back to the place that I was prior to, where the old man can kind of rear its head a little bit. Set him aside. Beware of the ones that you keep company with. Don't linger with sinners. Don't linger where sinners are known to go. We don't sit with scoffers. We don't join in with those pretending to do right, because it is too easy for Satan to have us join in with the crowd. Please don't give in to the temptation. Don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Be very careful of the advice that you receive, and be careful of who your friends are. And when you learn this counsel, fathers, be careful of what you teach, whether by word or by action. God's word is very specific. It is our authority. It is where we go to learn truth. I have friends that are Christians, and I know them to be so, but their counsel has been not God's word. It is not what God's word teaches. Let that be our ultimate authority, whether it be on who you marry, the life you live prior to marriage, the life you lived as a married person. More specifically, I'm thinking of friends that don't believe in people with different shades of melanin marry. And that's God's word according to them, and that is not God's word. God's word teaches that a man and a woman are not to be unequally yoked. That is the what we're giving in Scripture. It never speaks of the color of the skin. Beware of the counsel. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Verse 2 says, a godly man, father, dad, what does he do? He seeks the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. We need to be men and women committed to the study of God's word. The world has its glitter. It's a lot of sparkles out there to draw you in. And just like the shiny fish hook, it can draw you in, and it can take you places that you don't want to be. So beware of what the world has to offer. Study God's word. Know its place. Know the truth of God's word. The psalmist says it is our delight, and it is preferred over the counsel of the ungodly. The person of God meditates day and night. Meditates. When's the last time you meditated? And I'm not talking about the yoga sitting on the mat and, you know, home, whatever they do on there. Not as the world describes it, but as one that reads and rereads Scripture. Read it out loud. Pray that the Holy Spirit gives you understanding in what you are reading. Meditate on what God's Word is saying to you. What is the application of what I've just read? So my days in the tree stand, I probably don't have to read this, but I have it all written down for myself. My days in the tree stand allows for times of meditation. I don't know what you do that gives you the time to set yourself away from the world's actions. Mine is placing myself away from my house, where there's always work to be done, where there's always things that are calling for my attention, whether it's family, whether it's work, whether it's things of even the church, to be able to set aside, spend that time. Wednesday nights, we're going through a study on prayer and the messages that he's bringing on there. You need to set a place and to be alone with God, to meditate with him, to spend time in prayer, undistracted, with you and with God. An opportunity to seek God's face. And for me, sometimes to shoot a deer. But that's a bonus on that one. But it is those times where I can ponder my purpose in life. I can ponder what is going on with my children's lives. I can ponder what is going on with my marriage. It is a time of refreshing with me. It is a time for me to be alone with God. So the three greatest questions in life, things for you to ponder as you leave out of here. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? It doesn't stop in the tree stand. It is peaceful out there, but reality is life is still happening. And we can let it get in the way of our meditating day and night. The godly man, it should be something that is habitual. It should be habit-forming. And it is a good habit to spend time in God's Word, whether in the morning, whether in the evening. Take time and spend time with God. He meditates day and night on His law. So, fathers, is this your mark in your life? Can your kids see that this is something that is real in your life? That's a struggle that I think all of us, we want our kids to see. What they see you doing is what they're going to see as important in your life. If you're not spending time in God's Word, if you're not spending time with Him, I'm sorry, I know this wasn't supposed to be a beatdown. This is speaking to me. This isn't just for you. This is for me. These are the messages that I have to personally seek on the regular. I don't think any of us will doubt how observant our children are. They are looking. And just when you think they aren't paying attention, they bring up to you the good thing that you thought they missed. Well, good or bad, they're going to bring it up to you. They're observant. Just when you thought their mind was somewhere else, they bring it back to your attention. So this is another appeal for you and I to pick up our Bibles, to study it, to read it, to study it, and to meditate on it. Not to just be hearers of the Word, but to be doers also. Verse 3 reads, He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. I just think of a tree, it's just, oh, right? Trees sit over there, I can't hold my arms out for more than a couple of minutes before I'm ready to fall, and I see trees that have limbs that are extending out 20, 30 feet. A tree, they are strong. We are to be like a tree planted firmly by the streams of water, by streams of living water. God's Word is living water. It is life. The person well-rooted in God's Word will not be easily moved by the things of the world. A healthy tree is one that is receiving life-giving water. It will be healthy and strong, and in due time, it yields fruit, something that is worthwhile to me as well as others. We need that fruit that we can potentially yield for ourselves to continue to grow, and that fruit can be used for others also, because it should be an overabundance, an outflowing of us, of what we produce. We think about a tree, the growth rings, and how they grow year after year. If you cut one down, according to people that study those, I'm not one of those, I failed that in botany in school, but you can look at the rings and you can tell how much water that happened during that year. Years of drought, years of abundance, based on how the tree grows. I think the same could be said in our lives. Some years we're going to have better growth than others. May every year be equally, continually growing as we learn from God's Word, as we study it, as we sit under sound teaching, and as we spend time with God. And just like the great oak, it will give off acorns, which is an abundant food for many other life out there. May our outflowing of what we've learned overflow to our neighbors, to our friends, and to our children. Its leaf does not wither. The tree that is planted by the water does not suffer during the times of harsh drought, times of stress, times of loss. Its life water sustains it through those times. The end of that verse reads, the godly father will still prosper in things of eternal value. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Dads, fathers, what is your source of security? Is it, it's too easy to rely on ourselves. It's too easy to rely on other people. But Scripture this morning is urging us to rely on God and His promises in these verses. Turn over to Psalm 15. We'll look at some more verses there in Psalms. Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. We have more of the godly characteristics in this section of Psalms. One, he walks in integrity. He is morally sincere, honorable. He will not compromise. He works righteousness. A man walking with integrity results in having a blameless character. We don't have to turn to it. I've got it down here. I put in for Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. He works righteousness. Now, I don't want to take this out of context and say that a man's works can earn him a way to heaven. That is never the case. The only way to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone that brings us to the foot of the throne. But as a godly man, these are the characters and the characteristics that we will see that we should live out in our lives as we read through this section. He who walks in integrity and works righteousness, he speaks truth in his heart. Matthew says that the mouth reveals the heart of man. We see that in Matthew 15, 18, just for reference. Some have the ability to have flattering speech, saying what others want to hear, but tickling the ears of the other for personal recognition or gain helps no man. The godly man speaks truth from his heart. He is one that walks with integrity. They are genuine and they are without deception. William MacDonald says of this person that they would rather die than to lie. Is that you today? Is that how you live your life? Would you rather die than to tell a lie to someone for your own personal gain? I hope so. It is a man of character. It is a man of God on choosing. Verse 3 said, if the man speaks from his heart, he will not slander others. Slander is defaming others by telling lies or half-truths about others. One thing about slander is a lot of times you get caught up in things with your friends, usually ungodly friends. I can find myself getting there with my friends, and I try to back off and step away as much as I can. But ones that are slandering, they're okay doing that part, but when it turns around and comes back on to them, it's usually not taken very well, as it shouldn't be, because neither of you should be living that life. Slander is defaming others by telling half-truths. Cheap shots, innuendos, tearing others down to make oneself look better. He does not slander with the tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against a friend. A godly man, a godly father, teaches our children not to fall into such categories, to stay away from those things. Whether you're the one that's potentially leading in, stop what you're doing, repent, and be the person that God wants you to be. The godly man is not there to tear others down. They are there to build them up. His whole design should be to help. And again, I'll reference the verses from Galatians that I read before. We're to be there. We're to love. We're to maintain peace. We're to be long-suffering. And the list continues. Verse 4 says, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. Not only does he refuse to get in on the talk, he is there to refute those that do. He leads by example. The downside of not joining in to that kind of talk or tearing down, as my kids would say, FOMO, right? fear of missing out. You don't want to be that person that people are going to look at you as the one that's, I don't know, the fuddy-dud, the whatever word they use these days, for the person that's not joining in to the fun. We're just playing around. We're just goofing off. But still, it's not building up those that are around you. Going against the flow for righteousness' sake is never a bad thing. But again, it's never the easy thing either. The temporary loss of those friends, quotation, is worth the stand. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. You can stick with them, you continue to do the things, and you may end up with worldly gain. But all those are only temporary. A good name is rather to be chosen. We would rather be spoken of highly than be spoken of that person. Verse 5 on here, it says he does not put out money or interest. I guess to go back just from some of the things that I've listened to, that the Israelites were not to charge one another. They could loan money, but they were not to charge interest over there. Now, they could charge the Gentiles all the interest they wanted to. Name your price. Give them that 27% interest credit card on there to line a credit for them. But for the Israelites, they were not to charge each other that type of money interest. A godly father, and it would be strictly for gain, right? That's typically the credit card companies are out for their best interest, not for yours. They are wanting you to spend, and they don't want you to pay it off. They want to earn that interest. Same goes here. It is greed. It is them looking out for themselves. A godly father is not enticed by money. A man's character can also be challenged by whether he takes a bribe or refuses it, as he reads in here, as we read in the scriptures. That can come in the form of money or gifts. Bribes corrupt the heart. Bribes pervert justice. We see a very bribe-oriented society today, a very perverted justice system where money seems to be the way the world follows. How is money being demonstrated out to our children? How are we being generous with our money? Are we merciful to help others? How can we be better at this? Again, these are questions for me that I have to consider at home. How can we be better with our money? How can we show them that the money, just because we're receiving it, and even though we may be even tight at times on money, that we should still be generous with our money? We should be willing to help out others, to be able to give. Takes me back to the woman that gave of what she had over there versus the one that gave out of his plenty. She gave what she had, but her desire was for God and that God would take care of her. The Bible tells us we cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6:24 is the reference for that. So what does that mean? I mean, I need it, right? I need the money. Oftentimes I want it. But our desires and our actions should not let the money control us. And again, this isn't just speaking to the rich. The poor man can also let money control him. For what little bit he gets, he wants to have more and more. His desire to be rich may hinder his walk with his family, his friends, and ultimately the God in which we serve. And this goes for believers and unbelievers as well. As a believer, we should be far from that desire. And as a father, as a godly man, we should teach our children the importance of how to control their finances. And this should be part of our rearing. We're going to do some of that this summer, hopefully, as we go through some of the Dave Ramsey stuff, just to help out with our kids for when they move on into, as my kids are moving on into adulthood at this point, to help them out in their walk with God and their walk in this world. Be generous with giving. Do not be greedy for gain. Teach your children how to be generous givers. Help those that are serving the Lord, especially if you're able to do so. Teach them not to hold on to things of this world so tight. It all belongs to God anyway, right? And he has said that he will take care of us. What a great thought. Spoke of it this morning, just thinking about the God of the universe is not so busy as to take care of me. We thought of it was spoken of that we are as dust and that he still cares for us. To walk in the ways of righteousness, to speak truth, to walk with integrity, to walk humbly with our Lord. James 4, verses 6 through 10. Just turn there real quick. We'll read through these verses. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, but let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. To be a godly father, you have to be a godly man. Submission to God, submission to his will, submit to him in the way that you live your life. Live life his way. As Christian fathers, again, we have a high calling to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. They may not always want to walk the straight path, but the emphasis, but may we not fail in showing them the way. We can lead them as far as we can go, and then we have to give it to God to continue whether they will choose to walk in his path or not. Our children have a way of humbling us, fathers. So my suggestion is spend often time with the Lord. Pray often for your children. Pray with your children. And when given opportunity, pray for others' children also. Fatherhood is tough, but it's worth it. We don't know what's going on in other people's homes. Pray for those around you. I guess the only other thing I can add to this morning about being a godly father is to be a godly father, one has to know God. And when I say know God, I don't mean know of him. I mean to know him personally. Are you intimate with God? Have you given your life to him? Don't just be a good man. Be a godly man. Be a godly father. Lead your children. Lead your family in the ways of righteousness. Study God's word. Follow the life of Jesus as an example, as your supreme example. He lived out the qualities that I brought out from these few verses. Humble yourselves before him, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. So happy Father's Day. Hopefully this has been a little encouraging for you. And I will open it up for discussion. I do have one more thing I'll read here at the end, but if there's any discussion, now's my time. Absolutely true. So pick this up. This little, I don't know, this is a poem, just one of those little reads off the internet somebody posted up, thought it was interesting. It says, at 4 years of age, My daddy can do anything. At 7 years, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. At 12 years, oh, well, naturally, father doesn't know that either. 14 years of age, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years of age, oh, that man is so out of date. What did you expect? 25 years, okay, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. 30 years, maybe we ought to find out what dad thinks. 35 years, let's ask dad what he would do before we make a decision. At 40 years, I wonder what dad would have thought about that. He was pretty smart. 50 years, my dad knew absolutely everything. And at 60 years, he says, I'd give anything if dad were here so I could talk over him. I really miss that man. That's life, isn't it? So, things to think about. Let's bow our head in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can be humbled in your presence, that we can spend time in God's word, that we can see the thoughts that you have of us and for us, Lord. May we be as fathers, true servants, and bringing up our kids in the way that you would have us to bring them. Lord, may we love them the way that you love us. May we show mercy where mercy is needed. May we show grace always. Lord, we just thank you for our children. We thank you for the ones that are healthy. We thank you that you have given to us to be in our charge. And Lord, we pray that we would continue to serve you well. Lord, may we spend time often and frequently in your word, seeking your face, seeking the truths that are in, on how we can continually improve our walk with you and how we may instruct our children in the ways of righteousness, that we would know the answers to give them as we continue to walk on this earth. Lord, may they come to you at an early age to salvation, and may they continue to walk in the paths of righteousness throughout the days of their lives. Lord, we love you. We praise you this morning. In your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.